Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Vietnam Innovators. I'm your host, Hal. Thank you for coming in and tuning in, supporting the show as always. Today's guest is Phuc Pham. He's the country manager of Robert Walters Vietnam. Robert Walters is one of the most well-known executive, specializing in executive recruitment in Vietnam, and they've hired probably thousands, if not tens of thousands of people at this point, helping to bring them to Vietnam or helping Vietnamese find new kind of careers in Vietnam as well. And because of that, they have a lot of understanding and knowledge and insights about market trends related to talent recruitment. So it's a pleasure to have you on the show today, Phuc. Yeah. Thank you so much for making your time available.
Yeah, thank you for having me as well.
Of course. Phuc and I, actually Robert Walters, we go way back. We've known them for a number of years. Phuc, though, you have a new role at the company. Yeah. A few months ago, you became the country manager.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your career first.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about other people's careers all the time. But let's talk about your career.
Yes.
You've been with the firm for a number of years now. How does one even get started in executive recruitment? Let's start there. And what have been some milestones and learnings along the way for you growing your own career?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was a long journey. I've been in the business for a little bit of over 8 years. Mm. I started my career with Robert Walters back then in 2014. Mm. It was fairly simple for me right after graduation from the university. Mm. By the way, I studied economics, and actually my major was public finance.
Okay.
But immediately right after graduation, I realized that there are three things. Number one, I like to do sales job.
Okay.
That's the first thing. Number two is people.
Okay.
Number three, cervix.
Okay.
So I was looking for career or jobs, basically, with these three bullet points, basically. So I first ended with a job, which is a business development for one international insurance company.
Okay.
I did it for, I think, roughly 2 years.
Okay.
But I couldn't really find that my passion or, you know, my career development opportunities that clear over there.
Okay.
And I decided to move on, right? Mm. So it came quite natural because I knew someone who is doing this job.
Okay. And who was that person?
It was actually one of my friends in high school.
Okay.
So she was doing a recruitment job at that point in time. And obviously, we got a cup of chit-chat, coffee. Said, hey, tell me a bit about your job. What are you doing, et cetera. Okay. And Robert Walters as a company name came up.
Mm.
So I was just going around on LinkedIn, connected to a guy over there on LinkedIn. Uh-huh. We started to have some sort of conversation. And very soon after that, I got a job here. So when I started the job, I was the most junior guy.
Okay.
The youngest guy in the office, by the way, at that point in time. We were having around 25, 30 employees. We were 3 years in Vietnam as a company. So really young company as well. But knowing nothing about recruitment.
Yeah.
Obviously, the youngest, the most junior guys as well. Mm-hmm. And when I first came, I said, hey, I study a bit about finance. So perhaps finance recruitment could be good.
Yeah.
But they said, no, we don't have any.
So you ended up doing other things like healthcare and tech and everything.
I actually recruited for construction.
Okay.
So I work with civil engineer, electrical engineer, mechanical engineer guys, and I know literally nothing about it.
So you just had to learn super fast.
Yeah.
And then, okay.
So it's basically an empty paper, knowing nothing about the industry. The recruitment itself, but it was a super fun journey in a way. Like we were basically building the team around that construction market. And if you recall back then in 2015, 2017, the real estate market was
booming.
Really good in Vietnam, right?
Mm.
So we got lots of inquiries. It was really exciting, very fast growing teams as well. It was one of our most profitable team at that point in time. And, you know, thereafter, once the business is there, we started to hire more people.
Right. And you moved on to a different role.
And I moved on to the other jobs, basically.
So, over time, you eventually reached the point where you're leading the whole organization in Vietnam now. We have quite a number of executives and other directors listening to today's show, but we have quite a number of Gen Z and millennials, too, who were in the same place that you were.
Yeah.
You know, 5, 8, 10 years ago. What advice do you have for them that, you know, they're starting their careers, they don't really know, you know, if this is it for them? What does it take to become a country manager? Did you even think about becoming one when you joined the firm? You thought about it like, oh, like I love that job. Like, what's it take to get there? What's your kind of short little advice that you could share? Is it is it a mental kind of thing you have to be prepared for? Is it meeting the right people? What are some tips, perhaps?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is what I found, especially with the candidates, because our job is fairly simple. We meet people on the daily basis, right? And a lot of people, I think, it's very unfortunate that they don't really sure or they don't really know what they are looking for. And therefore, even from a recruitment angle, it's so challenging to find the opportunities and can help them out, right? So that's why we called our guys as a consultant, because we consult people generally about their careers and obviously a market trend as well. My first advice could be starting inside out, not outside in.
Inside out, okay.
Okay, so you got to understand who you are, your values, your DNA, what you are standing for, what do you need, what do you want to achieve in your own career, and then you find the opportunities that matching with those things.
Yeah.
Because that's also the typical reason why a lot of people, they are hooping around, because they are not really sure. And once you are not so sure, you started to think about that place, that place, that place. And perhaps it looks a little bit greener, maybe somewhere else. And once they made a move, it's not really what they are looking for. And, you know, the cycle keep going, And in the end, it doesn't help, obviously, in terms of the long-term career, So it started with that exercise. And that's where I came up with the three bullet points that I mentioned earlier. Second is... in our economies, in Vietnam generally, please be patient. If you guys might know about my industry, which is recruitment, it is one of the most fascinating industry, but it's changing so fast and so dramatically. In my 8 years with the business, I couldn't remember how many times did we make some changes around the business in terms of the structure, in terms of the leadership. And of course, if you don't know what you're looking for, if you don't stay firm, it's so easy for you to be shaky. And
there's so many things changing around you. The one thing that needs to be consistent is yourself.
And I usually tell my team and reminded myself multiple times that, you know, simple. Aim high, dream big, believe in yourself, the rest will follow. Okay. And things at some point will be in order again, right? But if you are, and I usually said with a career, it's a marathon. It's a marathon, right? It's, you might run a little bit faster than myself, let's say in the first 1 or 2 years, but over the time, that could be the key for success, right? So let's be resilient, stay narrowed down, be consistent with what with your approach and what you want. Usually the rest we follow.
Okay.
But in the end also, especially with our culture in Vietnam and with the young people, my second tips would be to be very proactive. Do not be afraid to share with your boss that, hey, I actually wanted such a job, basically.
Let them know what you want so they can help you get there as well. Okay.
And if you remember Adrian, right, my predecessors, and it was very clear, a conversation 5 years ago, because we got, you know, appraisal on the quarterly basis. And during during those conversations, we were talking about, hey, Fook, what do you want, et cetera, in your career? And it was very transparent and honest that I wanted to get your job. So tell me, how could I do? How could I get there? I know that I'm not there yet. And that's why I need to work on myself, my personal development, et cetera.
Amazing.
But tell me. And thereafter, you know, it's a two-way collaboration. You know, the managers, the boss will be fully aware of what you want, where perhaps there is a gap. And thereafter, we work on that year on year.
Well, they shouldn't be just telling their bosses. They should be telling Robert Walter consultants too, right?
So,
I mean, you must have those conversations every single day. You must be asking, you know, these individuals who are looking to get to the next step in their careers, you know, what do they want and how you guys can help them. And, you know, that leads me to my next question, which is talking about trends in the market. You guys work with both Vietnamese, but also foreigners. Most are already here in Vietnam, but some are looking outside from outside. What are some high level trends about executive recruitment, which is what you guys focus on, that you can share today? Like the demand must be only increasing, for instance. What are both individuals and companies thinking about the next level executive recruitment in Vietnam? Just what are your quick takeaways that you could share?
Yeah, I think unfortunately there isn't that much changes comparing to 10 years ago when I first started my job.
Still a problem finding people.
I think it's from a recruitment angles, we are having a very different market with, for example, our neighbor Singapore, right? Or Hong Kong or in a mature markets. It's extremely candidate-driven markets.
Okay.
Generally speaking, there is a gap between supply and demand, right? Usually, we have jobs, but we are struggling to find the qualified candidates for those jobs.
Okay.
And typically, the higher it goes in terms of the job levels, the less qualified the candidates can be for the job.
Oh.
Right? So it doesn't change over the times. And at the same time, from the company, from the employer perspective, it's still fairly traditional because it's executive, right? It's senior, it's very important position within the organization.
Yep.
So companies generally, they are not that adventurous in terms of their hiring. So they choose a very conservative and safe, you know, approach in a way which is usually hiring someone coming from the same industry, doing that job before, someone who can come in and perform or do the job immediately. And therefore, it is even more challenging for companies to find people in their own sectors.
Okay.
Because ultimately, it's still very immature. So that's obviously the biggest challenge, which is leading to one of the biggest opportunities for Vietnamese employees in Vietnam for the time being, that those aren't there. Okay, everyone is talking about localization in terms of the leadership team, especially for the MNCs in Vietnam. And as a Vietnamese, we have so much opportunities to be and to lead that organization in a very near future.
So a question for you about localization and hiring candidates locally for these super senior roles. You know, most of them, this is just from my experience. I'm not saying it's true or not necessarily, but if you compare a population of Vietnam, 100 million, less than that, and you have markets like China and India that are billions of people, and those markets have no problems hiring local staff because there's a lot of them super qualified as well to fill those roles. You look at the Fortune 500 companies, I'm sure if you looked at a company like India or a country like India, of those Fortune 500 companies, probably 90-95% are filled by local hires because there's enough people and the education system is producing enough people to support those roles. In Vietnam, do you see similar numbers? Probably not, right? I don't see those numbers. I think you have quite a few Indian executives, for instance, coming to Vietnam because they have that experience. They have that company experience. But what does Vietnam need to do to have enough local super senior, you know, time is one thing. What does Vietnam need to do to fill that talent pipeline?
I think the most important thing is the education. Right? There is a big gap between what we are educating people or the university, et cetera, to provide talents for the markets versus the demand of the market itself. And I think that's, unfortunately, we haven't seen that much changes over the times. And that's why, as you guys might observe, we therefore came up with that overseas Vietnamese to come back.
Come home for good.
Because we see that gap and we know that it's going to take time, obviously, as a country to get there. But in the end, we can have a Vietnamese somewhere else can do that job as, you know, a proper expat, Indian, Chinese, or, you know, Western guys doing that job. The Vietnamese can do that job as well. But at least that's a short or medium approach. But in the long term, I think it's critical to have that approach right with the educational system.
Okay. Which leads me to my next question about the prospects of developing its own leadership. From what I see, a lot of the biggest Vietnamese companies, for instance, they have that leadership. It's usually driven internally. You know, people start at a young age, kind of like, you know, you started as a youngster at Robert Walters and you were able to build your career, make it known that you wanted to progress within the organization. I look at some really large institutions like Masson or Vingroup or FPT, and a lot of the senior leadership have been there for decades. Is that culture of staying at companies that long to in order to build that leadership from inside, is that still a thing? Can employers like an FPT expect that the youngsters coming today will stay for decades like their past leadership have? Is that something you think is going to happen? or will be a challenge? Because Gen Z like to hop, right? They don't know what they like to do.
Yeah, but it could be it could be a challenge, certainly. It's especially with the new generation. We're talking about Gen Z for the time being. It's typically, I look at a bit of our report just earlier coming here, it's 1.5 years in average for digital.
Okay, candidates. 1.5 years, yeah.
Yeah, for example. I think it's really difficult for you, number one, to build the expertise. Number two, to start to contribute to companies and therefore to see the results of what you have already done before, right? And second, it's really difficult for the company itself to plan the career for their employees or successor planning accordingly with that approach. Because unfortunately, that's a reality that we have to face with and we have to live with, which is really short, 1.5 to 2 years across a lot of industries.
Okay.
In some, it can be a little bit more drastic. In some, it's okay. But that's my wish, really, to see. But ultimately, if anything started from the top, executive, knowing that this is the 10 years plan to develop that successor planning or the talents within the company, I think that could be very different. Because it's going back to the, you know, the learning and development for people inside. We have recently launched a survey, very comprehensive survey, which is called Not So Great Resignation. And in that survey, we basically surveyed 3,700 people across Southeast Asia, obviously including Vietnam as well. And 51% of the employers, they think that one of the best way for retention is actually around training and developing people. Right? So they know, they are aware that they need to work on that to retain their people. But again, that's the other side of the equation, which is the candidates in the end, they need to look at the same things as well with their employers.
Let's take a step back and look at the Robert Walters business a little bit, because a lot of these factors are not necessarily in your control. I think you can you can do surveys and talk to clients and share those insights to them so they can take their own action, right? You're not consultants for how they do their L&D. You guys are helping to recruit people from outside, bringing new energy. You mentioned a couple programs. You're doing like the Come Home for Good program. We've talked about it at length on Vietcetera before too. So I think a lot of our listeners may be familiar with it. But for those that aren't, could you please highlight some of the programs you're doing, like that one that you're doing to help that short to medium term talent gap? What are you guys doing?
We have two. We have two very popular white papers. Okay. The first one, which is Overseas Vietnamese. The idea was started in 2016, and it was very simple. Like, we got the same challenge with our clients in terms of you know, filling the senior executive position. And therefore, you know, we started to look for alternatives and options as well by that time. And it was very. We have, I think, a good 60 or 70% of our employees actually returned Vietnamese. So they used to leave, they work overseas.
And Robert Walters itself.
And they came back and to work for us now. So we started to look for those people. That's how we hire people as well in for our companies. So can we do the same? And we never actually talk about it that much before. We were mainly look for people within the country. So we started to think about that. And obviously there's a big demand from our clients as well. At that point in time, by meeting clients, we know that there are some VKL, and they came back and they are holding a very high position in the different companies as well. We said, maybe this can be a good solution for our clients and for ourselves as well, right? So we started to launch that in 2016. We have one dedicated person running that campaign for us in the past few years. In that 6 years, we've been reaching out to over 1,500 people living and working overseas, overseas Vietnamese, and try to bring them back home. We have already placed hundreds of people since then, and it was very successful, right? Second white paper that we go as a hiring based on potential.
Okay.
So just to go back to my previous point, which is companies are really conservative. So they look for people who can do the job immediately. So we run a very comprehensive research around that and see, you know, what is a pros and cons of that approach, right? And therefore, we came up with that. So just to give you a fairly example, instead of hiring a proper CEO for the company, right? Perhaps looking for CEO minus one or minus two somewhere else. Number one, it can be basically improving the candidate pool. So you have more options to choose from the available markets. Second is generally it's improving a lot that engagement, you know, between the employees and employers. And generally retention in the end. So it's actually a very good long, mid and long-term investment for the company itself. Of course, case by case, it's not always be the case, but we have seen a lot of examples that it has been working very well with that approach.
For companies considering that approach, when you say, you know, like a CEO that's not quite there yet, but can be on that path, what kind of timeline do you guys see? Like a lot of companies are considering that, but how can you manage their expectations? Like, do they have to wait a couple years? What do they do within those couple years to prepare that candidate? Maybe you can share about that.
Yes, actually, to map it out, the industry itself is actually quite quick because we are functionally specialized and we are specialist consultants. So usually the consultants, they know areas fairly well. So if you look for CEO, for example, in pharmaceutical industry, right, we can easily come up with 10, 15 names in less than a week. And therefore, we know exactly who can be good for that job, who might not be good for that job. And especially in our job, timing is also very critical, right? Sometimes it might not be the right timing to move or to change the job as well. So usually it came with a bit of the data and what we have already done in terms of market mapping as well. And therefore, the consultation will be a lot more, you know, easier to the clients to follow.
Phuc, you mentioned the overseas Vietnamese program. People that have cultural understanding are essential. At the end of the day, though, I think the foreign talent pool that want to come to Vietnam and understand Vietnam is also critical to the development of Vietnam's economy. I'd like to just grab some highlights about what groups of people are really interested in Vietnam. So, for instance, we mentioned about, you know, there's a lot of Indian executives that come here, particularly in FMCG and technology. What countries or ethnicities of people, I guess you could say, have huge interest in coming here? Would you be able to share? And why as well, if possible?
Of course, we have a lot of interest from Southeast Asia as a region generally. And perhaps, I think, and then Australia, US and UK. That's basically a bit of the orders. But generally speaking, I think perhaps because of a geographic point of view, that is just nearby. Vietnam is really a hotspot in the region as well in terms of the growing economies, fast-moving things. Things can happen very quickly. And more importantly, at the end of the day, people can see it on the ground, I think, which is really something that they won't be able to have if you are holding a very high position in the regional office, for example. So we have a lot of interest from the region itself, right? Singapore is one of the biggest place where we can get talents.
Singaporeans or people just living in
Singaporean, Singapore? Singaporean. And actually, if you pay attention to Singapore, Singapore as a country is actually one of our biggest FDI investor in Vietnam. So there are a lot of Singaporean bases in Vietnam. But at the same time, with what's going on globally with, you know, the war of Russia and Ukraine, obviously after COVID and now zero COVID policy in China, we see a lot of companies are moving their bases from China to Vietnam and see in general, Southeast Asia in general. But Vietnam is having a lot of advantage in terms of a potential destination for those guys. So we see executive from these countries as well. Indian is a lot, obviously, because of a huge population, very, very mobile, highly educated, highly adaptable as well. And usually they are spreading everywhere in the region as well. So they are quite flexible around that. So Indian a lot. And also generally Western, that, as I mentioned, European, UK, and a bit of Australia as well.
And you guys leverage the Robert Walters regional team. Like you mentioned for the OV, for instance, you have 1,500 candidates that you've profiled. Now, multiply that by the hundreds of candidates you have across the region, and you've got a picture, a snapshot of who's looking at the executive talent pool in all greater Southeast Asia, right? So my next question would be in relation to that bigger talent pool, are the companies satisfied with that talent pool? That, I guess that's my question. You mentioned Vietnam is very candidate driven, not company driven. Maybe you can explain, you know, those gaps and how that talent pool reflects that feeling.
So first of all, the gap, I think that's seriously impacting everyone now. So if I can think of four bullet points, basically. The first thing is we talk a lot about tech, right? As an industry, technologies. Even though that the education is getting way better than where it was before, especially with the technologies. We have a very good university such as FPT, right, educating very good people. At the same time, we have a very young population as well, and those generally are very fast learner, highly adaptable, and it's getting a lot better. But at the same time, we have a huge demand coming to Vietnam in terms of technologies demand, right? For example, companies are setting up their tech hub. They are now even 100% remote job as well, right? So you can be based in Vietnam, you can go for the US company somewhere else, for example, right? So the world is actually flat, right? But what we found is on two things. Number one is it's a communication, it's a soft skill. By that, I mean good English, basically, right? Vietnamese tech, generally very good at technical expertise. They are usually very good at that, very hardworking. But obviously, there's a big gap in terms of English speaking, right? Because as I mentioned before, companies are MNC, are international. So the ability to work and to interact with people globally are there. And you can't just communicate by writing all the time, right? So that's the biggest missing. Second is, from a technical standpoint, it's constantly changing. So the technical terms are new and people have to catch up as well. And it's fast more than ever. So obviously there's a gap there, right? Once you started to identify that, that's the, let's say, the demand of the market, it's going to take a little bit of time for you to adapt yourself right there. So that's with tech. Second, with a bit with the digital, right? It's only started right after COVID, right? So 2020. And there's a big change in terms of consumer behavior, especially in Vietnam, right?
Did you guys have to hire a lot of digital consultants after that?
Yes. It's actually one of the fastest growing teams in our business. But again, I think going back to digital, but before 2020, right, as perhaps you know that most companies, they are really traditionally doing the business here in Vietnam. The majority is a good 70-80% are actually still offline sales, right? But after that, we are now talking about a big shift between offline to online sales. And therefore, there's a huge need for, you know, digital marketing, growth, business development in those sectors. And we just couldn't have the talents. That's the second thing. The third thing is around manufacturing. Is everyone is talking about manufacturing, and it's really excited to see those things.
High tech though now.
So everyone is moving. Obviously, after COVID, all the big MNCs, they are now looking at diversifying their supply chain solution, right? So they are not going to put their manufacturing in one place anymore. They are going to diversify it. And again, Vietnam is one of a very attractive destination for those guys for many reasons, right? With the reason ongoing, zero COVID in China, of course, it is getting a lot of benefits for our countries. So certainly, just in let's say from 2021, just right after COVID, there are a lot of big companies. They're moving their factories here, or they are expanding the business here, and therefore there's a bigger need in terms of, you know, hiring people.
They want to split up all their factories, but have an expert at each one. That's difficult to manage from an HR point of view.
And from a talent standpoint, it's really challenging, because if you look at the manufacturing facility, right, typically if you are working in Đồng Nai, likely the family will be based in Đồng Nai, right? So the kids will be there, better at education, etc.
But you need to build infrastructure around that.
Schools
and hospitals and roads and everything.
And they are not that mobile anyway, right? So if there's another job, let's say based in Long An, for example, or in Hanoi, for example, the same job is a lot more difficult. So those workforce are not that mobile as well, meaning they are really focusing in that areas, and therefore it's making things a lot more difficult to attract people. Or if you are based in Ho Chi Minh City, we get a job, let's say based in Amata or in VC, for example. It's a long travel on the daily basis. So people take those things into account as well.
Okay. Very interesting. Phuc, we're nearing the end of our podcast here, and I always like to ask a couple questions at the end. First is for Robert Walters itself. Are you guys hiring? And what kind of roles are you hiring for? You mentioned, you know, you have consultants, for instance. What else are you guys hiring for?
Yeah, so we are expanding. This year, 2021, we have been growing quite aggressively. And I have to sign a lease to have an extra floor at the current building because we wanted to put a lot of focus in Vietnam as a market. But generally speaking, we are hiring consultants across all the functions as well. We are a big fan of industry professionals. So we hire finance people doing a recruitment in finance.
So they have never thought about doing recruitment necessarily, don't have the experience, but...
Yeah.
Why is that? Is it because they have the network, the understanding? Is it a bit of both, perhaps?
Yeah, the key would be for the consultant to understand or to speak the same language with the candidate and clients, right? If they are coming from finance, they could understand how is the finance candidate might be working on the day-to-day basics, how are they behaving, what they are looking for. And they will be in a better position to consult not only the candidates, but also about the clients as well. So, but again, this is a bit of a long-term approach from our end.
And last question, you know, someone like you, you touch on a daily basis so many different industries and you get a really good picture of what's going on and you probably learn a lot too. But perhaps there's things that you don't know that you'd like to learn more about or you don't know enough perhaps. You know, who else would you like to see on this show? Doesn't have to be a person, perhaps an industry or a company that would be useful for you and the Robert Walters team to do your job just a little bit better.
I would love to see some SAs and ZAs, young people in the show, to share a little bit about their perspective, right? Because for multiple reasons. Number one, I'm hiring Gen Z for my team, my people. As an employer, we are hiring people, right? So it's really important to understand what is there and what they are looking for. Secondly, I think when we look at the middle levels, especially from the workforce perspective, we started to see more and more Gen Z, you know, being at the manager's levels at those multinational companies. We started to see more, by the way. So it's, it would be very nice to understand more on that aspect, not only for our job, but also, you know, to get a better understanding because this is anyway the majority of our population now.
Fascinating. Right? Well, hopefully your wish will come true. Well, thank you so much today for your insights and sharing, Phuc. It's been such a pleasure. And, you know, best of luck to the Robert Walters team. I hope you guys have enough candidates for your clients. It's always a challenge, but I'm sure maybe through the show, a few of them will be in contact. So thank you so much for joining and wish you guys the best and hope to have you on the show very soon.
Thank you, Hal.
With a comprehensive healthcare ecosystem, GeoHealth integrates technology to optimize the examination experience for their customers. The GeoSmart Clinic provides a multi-specialty clinic experience with a team of elite doctors and cutting-edge technology. And with their recent Series B investment of up to $20 million US dollars, GeoHealth is coming closer to expanding their smart clinic system nationwide.
You can also check out the video version of this podcast on our other platforms such as YouTube and Facebook. New episodes are out every week, so don't forget to subscribe to Vietcetera's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube channel for more interesting content.